Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 14. I'm going to begin reading at verse 16 down through verse 25. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, for and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Today we shall look at the element of love as it was revealed to us in the life of our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. My hope is that all of us will profit from this and be enabled to see what is expected of us as believers, and those of you out there who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll be made to see the love of God as it's set forth for sinners. The majority of that which is called love is only sentimentality and selfishness. True love is set forth in the example and in motivation. Christ has set before us the example, and also we shall examine the motivation of his love as we have done so, and we will continue to do so in this series of messages. Our lesson falls into these categories. First of all, we're going to look at the various kinds of love in the Scripture. Secondly, we shall look at the variety of motivation the love of Christ has caused. And then thirdly, if we have the time, we shall bring it down to a practicality where we can understand it. So you follow along in your Bibles, and you listen carefully, because this is a teaching ministry as well as an evangelistic ministry, and our desire and aim is to not only ground the saints and edify the believers, but also to preach to lost sinners that they might be saved. God is using this method, and we praise him for it, and we hope and pray that all of you are receiving a blessing from these messages. Now take your Bibles and follow with me, if you will. There are various kinds of love that are set forth in the Scripture. Now take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 10, and look with me at verses 37 and 38, where you have the Greek word which is called phileo. And we find in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 and 38, we read these words. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Here is a love called out by the enjoyment of the object loved. People today love their children because of the enjoyment that their children give them. People today love philosophy because it comes from the two words, phileo and sophia, which means a love of wisdom. And this kind of love is a love called out by the object, by the enjoyment the object loved gives to the individual. It is a love between children and parents. Now, this is another word. And take your Bibles now and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you will, and verses 2 and 3, where the Word of God tells us about this kind of love. It is a love that is called in the original language. It is a love by the word stergein. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, or chapter 3, I should say, verses 2 and 3, we read, For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. That's the words I want you to underline. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. This without natural affection is a love between children and parents. And you know, you don't see too much of that today, because children today are being deserted by their parents. And right here in our own area, we find every year, several times a year, they find babies wrapped up in plastic bags and thrown in a garbage heap. And it shows very clearly these individuals do not have a love for their children. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, we read again, But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. And that certainly ought to tell us that the parents are to provide for the children, and especially if that individual is a believer. My hope is that all you believers out there listening to me, and that you have a greater love for your children and a greater love for your parents than ever before. Now there's a third word. This word is the word agape, and we find it is found in John chapter 3 and verse 16. Listen to what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now this is the third word, what is found in the Greek. You see, the Greek language has at least four words for love. The English language only has one. The Greek language has three words and better for hell. The English language has only one. And so when we study the Word of God, we need to find out what is meant. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, there is that word called agape. It is a love called out of one's heart because of the preciousness of the object loved. This word is found not only in John 3 and verse 16, but turn in your Bibles if you will, because many of you are following along with me in the Word of God, and I'm glad of it. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, we read again, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now notice that. Here you have the love of the Lord God of heaven. It is a love called out of one's heart because of the preciousness of the object loved. It is a love. It is a Greek word called agape. Now what does that mean? It means that God sees the preciousness of your soul, and he loves the souls of mankind. And we find very clearly the Lord God of heaven has died for sinners. God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's love is so great, and he extended it and commended it to us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and while we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And beloved, every individual who ever comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ knows what it means to be without strength, and knows also what it means to stand before the Lord God of heaven as an ungodly sinner. Now if this is foreign to you, and you profess to know the Lord, there's something wrong. Because my Lord saves only ungodly and helpless sinners. People today don't know what it means to be a lost, helpless, hopeless, hapless sinner before the Lord. But this comes when the Holy Spirit of God deals with an individual heart. Now let's look at the variety of motivation the love of Christ caused. We find there was, first of all, the motivation of compliance. Take your Bibles now and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the great love chapter in the Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and look with me, if you will, at verse 4. Listen to what it says. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Here you have the variety of motivation that the Christ love caused. First of all, there was the motivation of compliance. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Our Lord complied with the revealed will of God. John chapter 6, verse 35 through 40, we find our Lord says this with regard to the revealed will of the Lord God of heaven. Listen to it, if you will. John chapter 6, verse 35 down through verse 40. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son, and believeth on him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Here you have the compliance of Christ to the revealed will of God. It was the motivation of compliance. There was the revealed will of God. Then, coupled with that, there was the regular submissiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ unto the Lord God of heaven. Take again your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 14, if you will, and look with me at verse 21 down through verse 24. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Now why in the world do we have this? Here you have the revealed will of God on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ, and also there is regular submissiveness. And beloved, when you and I have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, this is the result of our life. We have the revealed will of God as is given to us day by day, and He shows us what it is in His blessed Word. And then there will be the regular submissiveness on the part of the individual. This is what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is what happens to Christ's followers. Are you a follower of a Christ? If you are, then let me ask you a question. Are you being motivated to the revealed will of God? And is there a regular submissiveness on your part to the commands and teachings of the Lord God of heaven? Now, the second thing is the motivation of condemnation. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, take your Bibles again. Remember now, this is what the Lord Jesus exhibited. In Matthew chapter 23 and verses 1 through 12, our Lord did this. And people come along, you know, and if you don't agree with them, the first thing they tell you is that you don't love Him. They love them, but the Lord Jesus Christ classified these false teachers. In verse 1 of chapter 23, we read, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to His disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do ye not after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And then our Lord went on and not only classified the false teachers, but we find He condemned them severely. This is all set forth in the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew. And yet if a preacher dare stand up and tell the truth today, the average individual in his congregation and whoever listens to him will turn right around and say, that man doesn't love us. Well, beloved, how false that is. Now I want to ask you a question. What about you at this hour? We find here that the Lord Jesus Christ not only had the motivation of compliance, as well as the motivation of condemnation. He classified the false teachers, and then He clearly exhibited the correct way. And He summed it all up in John chapter 14 and verse 6, where He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, the third thing of Christ was Christ's love, which motivated Him, was the motivation of compassion. Again, we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we find in verses 1 through 3, that we may preach with the tongue of angels, we may be great warriors, and we might even be martyrs, but if we don't have love, we find very clearly we are false teachers, and it doesn't profit us anything. But our Lord was motivated by compassion. In John chapter 11, verse 35 through 44, He raised up the dead when He raised Lazarus from the dead. Then, in Luke chapter 19 and verses 41 through 44, we find there was the rending of His heart because of the coming judgment upon Jerusalem. As He cried out and said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. And then in Luke chapter 8 and verses 26 through 35, there was the releasing of the demon possessed. Here you have the motivation of compassion on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there was also the motivation of concern. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, take your Bibles now, if you will, and turn to John chapter 8, and look with me at verses 1 and 2, where we read, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again unto the temple, and all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them. Here you have the motivation of concern. And we see, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Notice the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. He answered it very clearly, where he said, He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone at her. And then again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And in verse 10 we read, When Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And the Lord and Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Here is the motivation of concern on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he not only rescued that woman who was taken in adultery, he prayed all night for others. Then he pleaded for forgiveness of God for his enemies while he was on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then one of the last acts that our Lord did, he provided for a home for his mother Mary. Now these are the characteristics of Christ's love. And beloved, I'm going to tell you right now, these are also the characteristics of the love of God which is shed abroad in the heart of the individual when that person comes to know him. Now, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? If you do not, my hope is that something has been said that will cause you to seek the Lord, because the greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to save you. Now hold your seat. I'm going to share something with you. Before you ever come to know the love of God, you're going to know, first of all, the wrath of God. These people today that tell you that God loves everybody and He's kind to everybody do not know what they are talking about. And I'll tell you something else. They do not understand the Word of God, neither are they preaching it. God is a God of love, but God is also a God of wrath and indignation and holiness. And He is angry with the wicked, and except the individual repent and seek the Lord, the wrath of God is upon that person and will eventually fall upon him and send that individual to a devil's hell. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is a God of love, and the Lord Jesus Christ was motivated by His love. And His children who know Him also are motivated by the same love of the Lord God of heaven. Oh, my friend, I wish I had another hour to speak to you about the love of God. But God's love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given unto us. And love is contagious in its relationship. And also, love is not understood by the vast majority. All my hope is that you believers out there will fall in love again, all over, with the Lord Jesus Christ as you've never done before. And if you don't know the Lord, my hope is that something has been said to cause you to seek Him. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.